He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, we saw new highs in the market in the NASDAQ yesterday. The NASDAQ was up 11 yesterday, and it hit that all-time high, 15,374. Today we're seeing a little bit of a pullback. I'm not exactly sure why yet. I've got to dig in a little bit to figure it out, but the NASDAQ is down 50 points right now after yesterday's new all-time high. The Dow, on the other hand, is up a little. It's up 16 points, 35,114. It's about 500 points off of its all-time high that it set about a month ago. The S&P 500 is kind of flat, down maybe a point. 45.19, down 2 points now, 45.19, but it's been hitting new highs recently. The small cap Russell 2000 is down 10 points to 22.66. I guess that's the worst performing of the big indexes, down 0.3%. Crude oil getting a little lift today, up 99 cents to $69.34. We've got gold down $11.30 to $17.87. Silver down 33 cents to $24.05. Those all-important interest rates are holding steady today, but they were up about 7 basis points yesterday. We're down a basis point today to 1.36, and Bitcoin, which got smashed yesterday, is at 46,201. After a kind of a chaotic trading day as El Salvador. Is it El Salvador that is now using Bitcoin as one of their major currencies? So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We had new highs, as I said, in the NASDAQ yesterday. We're pulling back a little bit today. The stock of the day for me yesterday and in the last week, really, Netflix. Boy, all of a sudden Netflix has just caught fire and getting a lot of upgrades, the dominant streaming company. Amazon has also been pretty perky here recently. It's had a nice move. It seems like any time Amazon pulls back, it presents another buying opportunity in the global shopping online giant. Apple's been pretty good, too. It's been hitting new all-time highs here recently. And I know iPhone 13 up on deck. We stepping up to the plate. Is it today or tomorrow? I've got that a little bit later in the show. We'll find out what's new. Why do I need number 13? What's wrong with my number 11? It better be good in order for me to want to trade in my 11. To get your new 13. Oil prices have been a little buoyant here recently, up around $70 per barrel. Gold continues to just kind of slide sideways at that $1,800 level. And, of course, Bitcoin had a very, very rough day yesterday. A good day yesterday for the Chinese stocks, okay? That was the other area of the market, and I'm not too enthused there. There's a lot of good companies, JD.com, Alibaba, Data, D-A-D-A, and others. But just makes me a little nervous, the government, the Chinese government, and what they've done to their stocks over there. Tencent Holdings has been very buoyant here recently. I noticed they're having another good day today, especially JD. That's probably one of their best. That's probably their best stock, I would say, right now. I'm going to watch from the sidelines. It's up to you. You do what you want to do. I'm going to watch from the sidelines. I have owned several of these stocks in the past, but there's a trust factor with me, which has been badly damaged recently. The electric vehicle stocks had a good day yesterday. In fact, Tesla hit a four-month high yesterday. As I guess, what can you say? They're the dominant EV maker out there. The stock is way, way overpriced and expensive, but it continues to be a favorite. Some others had a good day yesterday. Rivian, which is back in the spotlight, they're going to roll out their electric pickup. They're saying it'll have a 314-mile range. Rivian deliveries could begin this month if the company stays on track. And this will give them a little bit of a jump on Ford's F-150 and General Motors' Hummer EV. And, of course, Tesla's Cybertruck, which seems to be kind of caught in a lot of delays. And there were other electric vehicle stocks that, you know, I'm going to watch those from the sideline. XPEV had a good day yesterday. Hylian had a good day. Hire Car, Volta Industries, Nuv Industries, ChargePoint Holdings, which is a charging company. Again, I think I will watch from the sidelines. We'll have a couple of Fed speakers today. The market will be listening for any updates on the taper moves by the Fed, and also you know, their thoughts on the current state of the economy, which was kind of a worry yesterday, no question about it. Any stock that was sensitive to the consumer or to the economy, in other words, cyclicals and consumer cyclicals, etc. They had a bad day yesterday, especially the consumer cyclicals. So obviously the market a little worried about the jobs report last Friday as this economy continuing to hum along with the reopening, or has the variant killed it? Why aren't we creating jobs? All of that worrying at the market right now. The market always has something to worry about. And then add in today, you have a major firm, Morgan Stanley, cutting U.S. stocks to underweight as Wall Street gets nervous. Well, they're really the first ones that have done this. I wouldn't say Wall Street gets nervous, but I would say one firm on Wall Street. Morgan Stanley is citing high valuations. I agree with that. Indexes near all-time highs. Well, that's a fact. And Delta variant cases and weak seasonality is bringing out some bearish warnings on U.S. stocks. Morgan Stanley downgrades U.S. equities to underweight and global equities to equal weight. In other words, they favor stocks, I guess, outside of the U.S. But they think this is currently a normal cycle, just hotter and faster, and our cycle model remains in expansion. So it seems like they're more worried about the valuations in the current market. Also this week, Credit Suisse maintains its small underweight on U.S. stocks, citing regulatory risk and high valuations. And Citigroup says longs outnumbered shorts on the S&P by 10 to 1. Risk amplifying a small correction with half the longs exposed to losses by a dip of more than 2.2%. Well, and you know, if you look seasonally, September has been kind of a sticky month in the market in the past. The S&P 500 has not seen a 5% correction so far this year. That's something else to worry about. Goldman Sachs has downgraded Q3 consumption forecast to 0.5% due to the effect of the Delta variant. But they also say the Delta setback is brief, And fiscal support continues to be there from the Fed. So anyways, that's what's going on. Yesterday we talked about LPL Financial, which laid out five bearish market arguments, and they said that none of them hold water at the current time. Well, okay, that's the surface of the market today. You know, what I do during the course of the day is dive down underneath the surface of the market, see where the currents are going. The NASDAQ has improved a little bit here. It was down 56. Now it's down 42, but it looks like so far a little bit of a sell-off in the tech sector. And we've got the Dow just barely positive right now. So a lot to look at, a lot to analyze, a lot to talk about today on the Best Stocks Now show. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the NASDAQ continues to improve. It's down 35 now. It was down 55 at the open. The Dow down about a point. I'm seeing good action in a few areas of the market here. The sector that stands out right now is, it's not a sector that I have much exposure to, the leisure and travel sector. There is some news today on the vaccination, how many people have been vaccinated in the U.S. Maybe that's driving it, but I'm seeing some good action in Disney, Wynn. We've got Expedia, Netflix, Carnival Cruise Lines, Royal Caribbean, MGM Grand, TripAdvisor, Airbnb. Those are some standouts in the market here so far. That's concentrated in the leisure sector. And the consumer cyclical is looking a little bit better today. Nordstrom's having a good day. The Chinese stocks, once again, JD.com and NetEase and Tencent Holdings having a good day. A few big tech stocks, Tesla, Facebook, yeah, that's about what I see today so far. I haven't had a lot of time to look at a lot of charts, but there are some clusters of stocks that are moving here this morning. Well, the U.S., maybe this has something to do with the good move in the travel and leisure stocks. The U.S. has now inoculated 75% of adults with at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine. You got to believe that there's herd immunity out there somewhere with 75% of the adults with at least one dose. That's according to the White House. Three quarters of adults in the U.S. have received at least one dose as of Tuesday, okay? Let's see, and I think that may be helping. Almost 194 million adults have had at least one shot, while 165 million have had both shots fully vaccinated. That's 64% of the total population. And that's the total tally of vaccines from Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. The rate of vaccinations has picked up in recent weeks as the highly transmissible Delta variant spreads throughout the country. Well, you know, the reason I report on this every day is because, look, the lousy jobs report last Friday is being blamed on the Delta variant. A slowdown in the economy is being blamed on the Delta variant. So we have to continue to watch this going forward, but that is good news that 75% of adults now have received at least one of the two shots needed. And, of course, they continue to talk about the booster shots from Pfizer BioNTech, which will be ready for a September 20th rollout while Moderna lags. Now, we have heard a little bit of talk of the coronavirus running its course in the U.S. And eventually disappearing. That doesn't sound like that's going to happen anytime soon, and maybe never. Now, I don't know what kind of credibility the World Health Organization has anymore. They certainly botched it at the beginning there. The World Health Organization says that COVID-19 is likely here to stay with us. Oh, that's good news. As the virus mutates like flu vaccines, making its elimination unlikely. Well, I think a few weeks ago, Scott Gottlieb, who's also, pretty much an expert on this subject, he thought that eventually it would run its course here in the U.S. and would be done. But the World Health Organization obviously does not agree with him. They say, we think this virus is here to stay with us. And it will evolve like the influenza pandemic viruses. It will evolve to become one of the other viruses that affect us. People have said we were going to eliminate or eradicate the virus. No, we're not. Very, very unlikely. This is according to Dr. Mike Ryan, the executive director of the WHO's Health Emergencies Program. Okay, well, there's the good news, right? Let's see. And of course, last month, the WHO added the MU variant, also known as B1621, to the agency's list of variants. And of course, that one is prevalent in certain South American countries. And it is looking like it is immune from the vaccine. It can get around the vaccine, so we'll keep our eye on that one. Rocky day for the cryptocurrencies yesterday. They are stabilizing a bit today. Let's take a look. I like to look at GBTC, the ETF. Yeah, definitely stabilizing today, but they were down $5,000-$6,000 per coin at one point yesterday. After Bitcoin became legal tender in El Salvador, legal tender. But their rollout was not without glitches, with the country's digital wallet having to come offline for fixes. But social media also highlighted positive stories, such as a person tweeting about successfully paying for breakfast at McDonald's with Bitcoin. Okay. All right, there's your, you buy your sausage McMuffin with Bitcoin. El Salvador's President Nayib Bukele also took to Twitter to provide updates on the rollout, and the country's holdings noted that they were buying the dip in Bitcoin. Well, that's nice. They're gambling with, the Treasury of El Salvador. The country now holds 550 Bitcoins, according to the latest update. El Salvador's leader also took a swipe at the International Monetary Fund, who said they have concerns about El Salvador making the crypto legal tender. He tweeted to them, "Thanks for the dip, IMF. We saved $1 million in printed paper," he tweeted, with many on the platform then speculating that the IMF had tried to push the price of Bitcoin lower, although without specific evidence. Yeah, okay, well, you know what? I cannot, with a good conscience, buy anything Bitcoin-related for the clients that have entrusted me with managing their money. You do what you want to do with, your money and Bitcoin, but I just feel very nervous about it. Netflix. What is going on there? They get a boost as Atlantic Equities raises price target to $780 per share. Netflix is now a $270 billion company. That's a quarter of a trillion, hitting a new high today. And it all started with the idea of, hey, let's use the mail to mail these DVDs back and forth. And it has evolved into what it is today. For the last 5 years, Netflix earnings have been growing by 94% per year. One of the big tech companies. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the best second half of Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has taken a turn for the worse. The Dow down 57 right now. The NASDAQ down about 100 after, however, hitting a new all-time high yesterday. Netflix, I just wanted to look at this one more time. Netflix is currently ranked in my Best Stocks Now app. I've got it ranked at number 136. I do not currently own, Netflix, but, hey, how can you argue with 94% per year average earnings growth? Over the last 5 years, they're looking for 72% growth this year in earnings, 24% growth in earnings next year. It's not cheap. P.E. ratio of 63, but it's notable that it reached its a breakout yesterday. We call breakouts, another name for a breakout is a pivot point, okay? So if you look back in Netflix's chart to January of this year, it hit an all-time high of 593. So that establishes a resistance level. It never saw that number again, and then it's done this big kind of saucer shape, which is a bullish pattern. It finally bottomed out at about 476. Back in May of this year, and then it started an upward trend. It broke out about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but yesterday was the significant breakout because what did it do? It broke through that old 593 level, which was the resistance level, and it broke out to a new all-time high. Right now it's trading at 609, so it's 16 points above its pivot point, which is about 3% breakout over the last 3 days. So that's a very... very solid a chart pattern on Netflix, and the stock is ranked number 136 right now. Okay, the next Apple event, September the 14th. I miss Steve Jobs coming out in his black shirt and his black pants and talking about the next little gadget from Apple. Apple will hold the special event on September 14th, which is expected to include the launch of the iPhone 13. Will it be unlucky? I don't know. Family of smartphones and the possibly delayed Watch Series number 7. The online launch event will kick off at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Well, September has kind of been the month traditionally that Apple has rolled out their next edition of the iPhone. There are some leaks suggesting that the iPhone will have a faster A15 processor, smaller display notch, a video version of portrait mode, an ultra-wide camera lens with autofocus, and improved low-light camera performance. The sizes are expected to stay the same as last year's iPhone, but the iPhone 5.4-inch mini is expected to be retired due to low sales, and the iPhone 12 prices range from $799 to $1,099. That's right, $1,099 for a phone, but it's a lot more than a phone, obviously. Now, Apple has also been breaking out to new all-time highs. It's now a $2.57 trillion company. And Apple had a had resistance about the same month that Netflix did, back in January of this year. Late January of this year was when all of these tech stocks, EV car stocks, battery stocks, they were all hitting new all-time highs. That was late January. And then there was a big, big sell-off in February and March. Now, not as much as at Apple, as in like a, you know, a Teladoc or an Upwork or an Etsy, some of last year's Zoom technology, some of last year's big winners. But Apple did sell off. It went down about $30 per share, about an 18-20% sell-off, and then it's been in an uptrend ever since. And it reached a pivot point, breakout, about 2 months ago when it broke through that 146 range. Today it's $155 per share. It hit an all-time high yesterday along with the NASDAQ. It's now 13% above its pivot point in the last 49 days. We continue to own Apple in our premier growth portfolio and in our dividend and growth portfolio. Yes, Apple does pay a dividend, just a little under 1%, but it does pay a dividend, and they do have their iPhone 13 launch event for September the 14th. Okay, now here's, I always warn you about this, these companies that pay big dividend yields. You've got one guiding lower today, Philip Morris. Okay, what's the current dividend yield on Philip Morris? 4.6%. 4.6%. Philip Morris International dips after guiding for full-year profit to be slightly less than the consensus. But Philip Morris has actually been kind of on a run here recently, but that's all I do. The first thing I do is I look at my current ranking of the stock. And the best stocks now app.com, and the formulas inside there that were put in there by me says that the stock is currently ranked, well, it was 1,241 about a month ago. So just not good enough. And the company is guiding lower here today. That may have something to do. I don't know. Is it still in the Dow? I can't remember. The Dow's down 150 right now, so the sell-off is picking up some steam. You know, I was looking at Taiwan Semiconductor yesterday because of the chip shortage and because of the dominant position that they have. But I also saw that it was running into resistance and, you know, decided not to take any action on it. I currently do not own it. But today I see that Intel's going to invest up to $95 billion on European chip production, taking on Taiwan Semiconductor as a foundry that actually makes semiconductors. And that's one of the reasons why we have this chip shortage. I don't know if you've noticed, if you drive by an auto dealer, you're just not seeing the cars out in front and around the dealership that you would normally see. You know, there's similar problems in other industries. A lot of it's the chip shortage, a lot of it is a labor shortage, and a lot of it is materials shortage. But the chip shortage has been caused in part by a lot of companies getting out of the foundry business and becoming fabless. In other words, they design the chips, but they have the big foundries make them. There's only a few big foundries left, and Taiwan Semiconductor continues to be the dominant one. That chart was looking really good. It was moving up in rank. And then I see this news today, Intel investing up to $95 billion on European chip production, taking on Taiwan Semiconductor. Here's the story of the day, okay? Remember a few weeks back when Tesla revealed the humanoid robot at its Artificial Intelligence Day last month? Well, this electric car maker, big one in China, XPeng, reveals a rideable smart robot, Pony, for children. There's a picture of it here. He's a cute little fella. Doesn't need a lot of hay. You know, you don't have to clean up after him. Don't have to keep his water bin full. And your kids can have a pony ride. The rideable four-legged robot named Little White Dragon is furnished with autonomous movement obstacle detection. You don't want them, like, running into the swimming pool with your kid on it. Face and voice recognition. How about that? And can express emotions through its face screen. It was also shown with an attachable basket that allows it to be easily loaded with groceries or other items. So you can send the pony out to unload the groceries from the car. That's Xpeng, X-P-E-N-G. I'm not seeing a price on this thing. Another area of the market that was pretty strong yesterday, let me see if it's following through today, the gambling stocks, which are also in that leisure sector. Well, you've got NCAA college football now underway. The big game here last week was Clemson versus Georgia. Georgia really had the defense shut down Clemson's explosive offense. But you got NFL around the corner, and guess what? DraftKings, Penn National, a lot of these gambling stocks on the move yesterday and following through a little bit today. This is Bill Gunner, so we'll be back with our featured stock of the day.
You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I do see a story here from yesterday that's also around today that may be part of this. You know, one of the threats we continue to talk about to the market would be tax hikes. That's just the way it works. You know, it's mathematics. If you if earnings are after tax earnings and you tax those earnings at a higher rate, you're going to have less earnings after taxes. And when you put a multiple on less earnings, you get a lower target price on the S&P 500. And I've been saying that there's 500 or 600 S&P 500 points just kind of out there up for grabs, maybe even more than that. Depending upon any kind of a tax hike. Well, we're starting to get some proposals on how to hike and where to hike taxes. Ron Wyden, Democrat, Oregon, he's calling for the mark-to-market taxes on derivatives and carried interest, which may result in levies on gains every year. Well, you know, the worry there is that it leaks into the you know, having to pay capital gains whether or not you sell or not. In other words, at the end of the year, if you've got a big gain in Apple and you're still holding it and you haven't sold your Apple, you got to pay the capital gains taxes. Now, I don't know how that works. If Apple then gets cut in half, do they refund you the money? That's not a very popular proposal, but, you know, Wyden has all the usual rhetoric. The country's wealthiest, who profited immensely during the pandemic, have not been paying their fair share, said Wyden in a statement provided by a spokesman. They can defer, 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 and never pay taxes on billions in gains. Well, I don't know how many people fit that category. But, you know, a lot of folks, I would say there's a lot more trading in today's market than there have been in the past. Buy and hold doesn't really hold much anymore. And I don't think that the proposal to charge you on unrealized capital gains, that just doesn't make sense to me. But I'm sure the market, you know, something turned the market yesterday after hitting new highs last week. And it's definitely spilling into today. Now, there's worry about a slowdown in the economy, but I think these tax proposals may be also spooking the market here a little bit. Okay, my featured stock of the day, one of the very first stocks that I covered and wrote about way back when, back in 2000, 1999, something like that, was Myriad Genetics. They had come up with the BRAC test, B-R-A-C. They used a very large ancestry database up in Utah to determine what a person's odds are, I suppose, probability of, you know, from genetics of, say, getting breast cancer, for instance, okay? So they would do that testing on you. Now, this was back in the days when it took a long, long time to do your genetic analysis. Now it's a lot faster with companies like Illumina coming along and kind of cracking the code there and doing these genetic tests a lot faster. Well, it's come a long way since then. And, of course, Myriad Genetics made their money by charging you for that test to see what your likelihood. Well, it's not going to prevent you from getting the disease, but you could then adjust your lifestyle to try to avoid those things that increase your odds of getting one of those diseases that you're more prone to from your genetic makeup. Well, Natera is kind of, in a way, the stock of today as far as this testing goes. They're out of Austin, Texas. NTRA. It's an $11 billion company. They provide preconception and prenatal genetic testing services and blood-based diagnostic tests for cancers. Well, there's another issue. You know, certain married couples are more prone to produce maybe a child with cystic fibrosis or whatever. I had some friends that had two children that had cystic fibrosis because they had a bad combination of genetics and blood that was more prone to produce children with that disease. Well, Natera has been a pretty good growth stock. They're not profitable yet, but their sales have been growing by about 40-50% per year. Natera is down in the emerging growth category of the market. This is not a big dividend-paying stock, large-cap, blue-chip company. It's way, way down at the bottom of the food chain. But I believe, you know, just from what I learned from spending time up at Myriad Genetics and talking to their scientists and whatnot and their management team, I've always believed that there's a big future in this. Natera showed up as my number one ranked stock about a week ago on the Best Stocks Now app, so I revisited it. It's hitting severe resistance here, technically, but it's currently ranked, I think, at number 124 or so. And I do own a small position in my emerging growth portfolio, this genetic testing company, Natera, out of Austin, Texas. We'll make that our featured stock of the day, not a recommendation, but, you know, out there on the edge, out there on the frontier of what I consider to be best stocks now, this would be a best possible stock now if this really hits. But they have some pretty good sales growth there. All right, well, the newsletter, I outlined a lot of the risks that the market is facing right now. I updated my target prices for the market and the risk to those target prices. It was all in my newsletter last week, fresh off the press. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. This is a very mature bull market. It's a very mature expansion in the economy. You're starting to see just a little bit, some chinks in the armor of the bull and of the expansion. And now there's talks of tax hikes to pay for the $3.5 trillion spending plan that is now proposed. We'll see how far that goes, and we'll see how far this talk of tax hikes goes. But the market definitely nervous a little bit here the last couple of days. And today the NASDAQ joining in after hitting a new all-time high yesterday. So you might want to take a look at that newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. And, if you're looking for a little bit more active management than the passive model being peddled at most big shops around the country these days, give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.